This is Louis Satchmo Armstrong.
This is Mariah Carey.
This is Peter Frampton.
This is Gloria Gaynor.
Hi, this is Engelbert Humperdinck, and you're listening to the Sounds of Christmas podcast.
Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. Singer-songwriter Michelle Malone is back with us for this episode of the Sounds of Christmas podcast. Hi, Michelle.
Hello.
Is singer-songwriter the way you should be introduced, or is there something that you prefer?
Beats me. They just come up with all kinds of names for what I do. I do sing. I do write songs. It sounds descriptive and accurate. I like it.
Okay.
But it also denotes that, you know, I could be somewhat of a shoegazer or write sad songs or contemplative. I mean, I do all of that, but I tend to err on the side of fun and joy and, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm a fun singer-songwriter sometimes.
Well, you have, I was going to say you have dipped your toe, or more than dipped it, in lots of different genres.
Pools.
Yeah. And I think more than just dipped it, but I count three different bands that you're semi-active in besides doing your solo stuff: Canyonland, Drag the River, and the Toddies. Is that right, or is there more?
No, that's pretty accurate. However, Drag the River is no longer a band.
No. Oh, okay.
They were my first band, and we started in the late 80s and did the whole record deal thing and toured with some big bands and all that. And then we broke up. We decided many years later, around 2017, that we would have a few reunion shows. So that's how that got on the internet again and put together a Facebook page and all that stuff. Since then, unfortunately, one of our members had passed away. So we've decided we probably won't be doing that anymore. Not to put a negative note on it, but it was great while it lasted. I have a 70s Laurel Canyon cover band that is really fun called Canyonland. And then, of course, my Hot Toddies Christmas band.
And we talked about the Toddies last time you were on, and we'll talk about them again. But I want to talk about a couple of your non-Christmas releases that were recent. There was a live Canyonland album that was just last year. Is that right?
I think so.
Okay. And you had a solo album, Southern Comfort, out a month or two ago. Am I
Tom,
missing? I'm sorry.
No, you're right. It's strange to think that I put out two records last year and, or this year. I don't know. It all runs together. I put out a record last year in late last year, and then this new one is called Southern Comfort, my record, and it came out in October.
Right. What can you tell us about Southern Comfort?
Well, it's kind of a throwback to my original roots of being more of a Southern singer-songwriter that, you know, I keep a foot in the acoustic world and a foot in more of the rock world. So being that I'm from Georgia, it's a bit of a Southern rock record, but nowadays it's also acoustic driven. So they tend to call it Americana, which is an umbrella term for everything that isn't hip hop, pop, or country. Yeah, they keep dividing us up. It's okay. It's just good music. We all love good music.
Yeah, we do. You've got a bunch of guests on this album, including the one that jumped out at me was Rick Richards from the Georgia Satellites. You guys, I guess you know each other now.
Well, I've known Rick a long time. You know, a lot of Georgia musicians have been playing together. I've been playing with these folks off and on for years. I used to sneak in to see the Georgia Satellites at this little club called Hedgens in Atlanta when I was in high school. And eventually, several years later, I became a local musician of somewhat notoriety after a few years. And Rick came and played with us at some of our shows. And so I've known him a long time. And so, I wanted to invite some of my friends to come play on this record. The aforementioned Drag the River member that passed away, he was the drummer, and he was just, you know, such a wonderful, lively, joyful person, always the life of the party. And when he passed away, it really hit a lot of us very hard. And Southern Comfort, the title track of this record, is a song that is older, and we used to play it a lot in that band. Well, he loved the song. His name was Billy Pitts, and he always wanted us to play it every night. So after he passed away, I was making this record, and I wanted to record that song in his honor. And so I rounded up a whole bunch of our old friends that he used to play with. And when the original drummer from the Georgia Satellites left, Billy took his place. So that's why Rick's there. And then we got Charlie Starr from Blackberry Smoke. He was in a band with Billy as well. Joey Huffman was the keyboard player in Drag the River and in the Georgia Satellites. So, you know, I just, there was a method to my madness to pull in some of these folks. Just a nice little way to pay tribute to Billy, you know.
That is nice. That's very nice. And I don't know why it surprises me when I look at a record like this and I see all these names that are in bands that I recognized. And what a small world, because you just don't think about that, you know, all these people were performing in the same area. They had to cross paths at some point. So there is a good chance that they know each other. But you just don't think about that kind of thing. And it's very cool that you got all these people together for this album. And it just came out 2 months ago, give or take.
Yes, in October.
Yeah. And it looks to me it's all original, right? You wrote all these songs?
I wrote or co-wrote all the songs. That's something I enjoy doing more and more these days, co-writing with other folks. And half the record was co-written with this really amazing and well-known songwriter named Dean Dillon, who, among other things, wrote the majority of George Strait's hits.
Wow.
And he also he also wrote Tennessee Whiskey. You know, I think that's such an exceptional thing. So don't put me up there in that in that air, because I still sound like me. But it's a good record. There's some really great songs on it, and I'm very proud of it. I think it's maybe my 17th record. And for me, I just keep wanting to raise the bar on myself. And as long as I'm enjoying it and doing a good job, to me, then I think it will translate and other folks will enjoy it as well.
Well, that's something that really comes across, especially on the Christmas album from last year, Toddy Time, that when you're singing, you know, you could have put any Christmas songs on there that you want to, but when you're singing those, it sounds like you are having a good time. And it sounds like you mean it. You know, it's hard to say when you've got an album like Southern Comfort and they're not necessarily all happy ever after kind of songs. They're not Holly Jolly Christmas. but there's emotion in there, that you care about it. I guess that's better than saying you mean it, that you care about what you're singing, because there's so much that you hear that is phoned in and there's no there. And
yeah,
you know, and you hear... You know, when I hear Toddy, when I hear the songs, and I'm playing a lot of them now, when I hear you do "That You Santa Claus," you're singing that because you want to be singing that, not because somebody said, here, record this.
No, I absolutely do it out of love. I mean, it's the labor of love for sure. Everything I do is, I wouldn't do it if I didn't want to. I unfortunately am the boss. So fortunately and unfortunately. So, you know, I don't have to do any of these things. You know, I didn't have to put another band together, but I just enjoy it so much. I'm going to keep doing all these things until I don't want to.
With Southern Comfort coming out so close to the start of the Christmas season, did you get a chance to take it out on the road at all?
A little bit. We took it on the road all year before it was even out. And in this day and age, especially since I'm an independent artist now, I could sell it at shows, you know, back in April and May. So I've been touring it and selling it at shows for a while. And it's now, when I say, you know, it came out in October, that really just means it was available for streaming since October. And I don't know, do they still have iTunes? It's probably there, but it's not on Spotify because I have a little love-hate relationship with them right now.
Yeah.
There's a few singles there.
One of the things I really like about your website, michellemalone.com, by the way, and I'll put a link to that down in the show notes, is that there's so much there that is for the fans. That's for people who like you, who want to get more than just a download, who want to get a CD, maybe something signed, that want to get vinyl, which is available for Southern Comfort and which was available for the for Toddy Time. You had, I don't know if it's still available, you had, I think it was green vinyl for that last year, didn't you?
Yes, it's still available. And I also have Christmas with the Hot Toddies that came out last year, but we haven't put it up for streaming anywhere yet. But, and I think that one is red.
Oh, how neat.
Yeah.
Red and green, very festive.
imagine that.
I know. For anybody who doesn't know, Michelle is just as much a Christmas music aficionado as I am, possibly more so.
is that possible?
I you know, it's not a test, but I don't know. You have recorded a lot more Christmas albums than I have.
Well, there's that.
There is that. And you've done shows. You've got some Toddy shows coming up. And there's, by the way, when you go to Michelle's website, there is a link for the shows. So if you're going to, are all the Toddy shows in and around Atlanta this month?
They're in Georgia. Yeah. We try to, you know, one of the reasons I started the Hot Toddies is not just so I could play Christmas music for the season, but so that I could play shows without having to tour far from home during December. So we generally stay around the state.
You have some videos of the Toddies in concert playing a couple things on your YouTube channel. Any chance that you're going to record any of the shows this year? Any plans for that?
We have some in the can. Honestly, I just haven't had time to get to it. So we'll stagger out some releases. You know, the Christmas season is so short.
Yeah.
That it's very difficult to time everything, all the releases and everything just right. And since I had a new record out this year that was not Christmas, it was very difficult to figure out when to put out more Christmas material. So, you know, I'm doing the best I can as this little indie label over here.
Well, and it was also, it's a shorter season this year because Thanksgiving was so late.
Yeah. November was long this year.
Yeah.
But you know, I'll get them up and, I'll get the Christmas with the Hot Toddies record out for the next season. And so we have things to look forward to. And I'm also going to have new live videos. I just haven't gotten around to getting those out.
Okay.
We have things to look forward to.
I will put a link to your YouTube channel down in the show notes as well. You did a really nice acoustic Count Your Blessings song for Thanksgiving.
Mm.
That was really nice. Everybody thinks it's a Christmas song because it was in White Christmas, but the message of it is it doesn't have to be any particular season. And that was really nice. I shared that, I think, on Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Shortly after you posted it. You're very welcome. It was just one of those things I thought, oh, this is really nice. I want to put this out because I don't play Thanksgiving stuff and it's not the sounds of Thanksgiving. So I don't play that. And, you know, but I thought, oh, this is really nice. I want to put this out there. And people who are listening probably are wondering why I didn't zoom in on that you have this additional Christmas album. And I do want to mention that this other album, Christmas with Michelle Malone and the Hot Toddies, is on your website, and people can get a download of it or the vinyl or a CD right now. But you just have to go to the website, and it's so much better to support the artists and to buy the music from them.
Preach.
Yes. I Bandcamp isn't as bad because a lot more of the money goes to the artist, but it's such a small percentage of a percentage of a percentage of a penny from any of these other streaming sites. You know, around this time of year, you'll see articles about how Mariah Carey makes however many millions from the streaming of her song, and that's great, but that's not reality.
That's the 1%.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's Mariah Carey and a 30-year juggernaut of a hit, and, you know, great for her, but it's hard for, and I don't want this to become a Spotify bashing thing, but I will say I will say that I saw, I think it was earlier this year, that they decided that there was some threshold that artists had to reach stream-wise, or they didn't make anything. Which
so
I think
I can put all this in perspective really quickly.
Okay.
When you stream a song, the artist, if they're independent, gets 0.004 cents per stream. And then, so that means if you, as an artist, get 1 million streams, which is a bona fide giant hit, you get $4,000 versus, you know, you buy a CD or an album or whatever, that's real money, $10, $12, $15. Okay. And also the threshold you're speaking of is each song that you have on Spotify has to get at least 1,000 streams per year. And if it gets less than that, 999, they're not going to pay you. They're going to take that money and give it to someone else who they say deserves it more. Which I can't really even speak to that. All I know is all these years they've been saying, well, we know we only pay you 0.004 cents per stream, but it all adds up. So I don't know what their tagline is now. It adds up for someone else.
Yeah.
You just have to laugh because we all stream. You know, yeah. I listen to Spotify, and the majority of my 30-some-odd-year catalog is up there. But when they did that, I just thought, you know, I don't feel comfortable releasing my new record there. So I put some singles up, and I'm trying not to punish people, but it's on all the other streaming services because they haven't quite reached that level of whatever we call that. So it's still available. It's just those are the facts.
Yeah, in addition to all of that, I will mention that this podcast is not on Spotify because a couple years ago, somehow Spotify accidentally put commercials for Wild Turkey in every podcast on Spotify. It only was on there for maybe a day or so, but I don't want anybody thinking that this podcast is brought to you by Wild Turkey. And and this also included people who had podcasts that were Alcoholics Anonymous.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
and it was that's not good.
And their reaction to it was basically, "Whoops!" I just feel like,
yeah,
"Whoops!" How about that? That shouldn't happen and won't ever happen again.
Sure. So, they're just too big to care, I guess. Yeah. Who knows?
And I'm not, and like you said, I'm not trying to punish anybody who's on Spotify, but there are plenty other places. I mean, like you, my podcast is on my website, so you can go there and find every episode, but I don't want to turn this around to being about me. Christmas with Michelle Malone and the Hot Toddies, which you teased might be widely released next year, but you can get it now. If you go to michellemalone.com and you click on, you have so much on your website. It's so cool. She has a store and it's broken down into, you'll see MM Tunes. And if you click that, you'll find Southern Comfort. You'll find the Christmas albums and plenty more. And you can get stuff that is signed, which is very cool too. As somebody who is a music fan, I think that would be really neat. And I bet that most people don't even think about that kind of thing anymore, that you could go to the artist's website and buy it from them and the artist would sign it for you. How cool is that?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's cool when I get music from other artists and they sign it. You know, I like collecting those things and I'm very tactile anyway. So I like to hold the records or the CDs and read the lyrics and look at the credits as I listen to it. So I guess I'm an anomaly like that now, but I'm old school, you know.
I think there are a lot of people that like that. Trans-Siberian Orchestra usually does a Christmas special every year for radio, and they didn't get around to it this year. So they sent me 5 copies of the 20th anniversary edition of their last Christmas album, The Lost Christmas Eve, to give away. And it's pressed on clear vinyl, and people were so excited about being able to get this 20-year-old album on clear, on special vinyl. And it's just, you know, it's just cool. And I think there are a lot of us out there that like that kind of thing. So if you want, you know, green and red vinyl Christmas albums, and there's a good chance if you're listening to this podcast, you do. Michelle's got them for you. With the Hot Toddies, Toddy Time last year, and Christmas with the Hot Toddies, sort of now and sort of next year. Is there more Christmas music in the works, or do you even want to think about that right now?
I always have enjoyed recording. It's one of my favorite parts of my job. Having said that, you know, sometimes it's difficult to figure out why we're still making records. Because, you know, they're getting harder and harder to sell. And my garage is full of CDs and albums from the past, you know, 10, 15 years. So I always want to, and I dabble with the whole idea, but I do have a good fan base that's very supportive. And, yep. And I can, you know, I just have to remember not to overorder, I think. I still live in the early 2000s where we sold more physical music than now. So if I can just get that down pat and stop ordering so many, it would make better sense. Having said that, I think I'm going to have a big sale to, you know, get rid of some music from my garage here soon. But to answer your question in a long roundabout way, I'll probably put out a Toddy record next year, or something live, or, you know, I haven't really decided, but I do like to at least put out something every other year for the Hot Toddies.
And you got a lot of Toddy shows coming up, as I mentioned, and you've got a lot of other shows too. I noticed that you're back at Eddie's Attic for New Year's Eve. Isn't that where you recorded one of your first albums?
I have recorded a couple of live records at Eddie's Attic over the years. In fact, my very, very first live Christmas record was at Eddie's Attic, and I recorded it in 1992. And I'll be honest, I used to smoke, so I wasn't singing as well back then. And it was a little bit dated because I talked a lot about the election back then, as young people do. And I think that was the Clintons or something. Anyway, it went out of print, and I just kind of left it out of print and didn't loaded up on the streaming services or anything. So that record is not in existence anymore, I don't think. Maybe you could find a used copy somewhere. It's a fun record, but I think the Toddy records are better.
And Eddie's Attic, I remember this earlier album that you had released, and I think it's really cool that Eddie's Attic is even still around, because it has been 30-ish years.
Sure. It's an institution.
Yeah. There just aren't a lot of places that are still, a lot of venues that make it 30 years.
Yeah. Well, it's also a listening room, and we've had so many great success stories come out of Atlanta who played Eddie's Attic and who will return to help support it, that I think it goes a long way to build the legend of Eddie's Attic. And it is one of the best listening rooms in the country. There are very few of those left. So I'm still very honored to get to play there. And I play there every New Year's Eve. We do two shows. The Michelle Malone Band. My first show is always the early show, is usually my guitar player and I as a duo, because that's generally how we tour. And it's still very dynamic. He plays electric guitar and I play acoustic, so it's very percussive. And, you know, we do the Michelle Malone songs. And then we'll bring up the band for the late show and have a big hoopla. So, and we try to surprise people with something every New Year's Eve, as far as song choices go. But it's great. I couldn't even tell you how many years in a row I've played there New Year's Eve, but it's been going on since the 90s, I think.
And then turning the calendar page to 2025, you've already got a bunch of shows lined up starting in January. And I don't know if this is your first show, if there's any others to be announced, but a Canyonland show that's coming up in Decatur.
Yeah, I love this Canyonland band. You know, I grew up listening to my mother's music, and she was a singer in pop bands in the 70s. So I grew up listening to her sing all this great music, Linda Ronstadt and Emmylou Harris and Crosby, Stills and Nash and Fleetwood Mac and all this, you know, Eagles and all that. So I've always wanted to try my hand at singing these songs. And I had never had a cover band before. I pretty much just started playing music when I started writing songs professionally, you know. So I started, I guess I'm doing my career backwards, because now I have a cover band. It's the most fun. It's almost as fun as singing Christmas music. So only we can do it all year round. And the folks, the guys that are in the band with me, I love to death. So we have a really good time.
So other than, and then you've got a bunch of other shows moving through February into the rest of the year. What else is on the slate for 2025 that you can talk about?
Well, I'll be playing some shows. I probably won't tour as much next year as I did this year because of the new record being released and everything. But gosh, I don't know exactly. Touring is always a staple in my world, and I would like to do some more writing and prepare for another record in the next couple of years. I know that hopefully I'll put out another Hot Toddy record, whether it's live or studio, I don't know, and get some live video together, because I do have that already in the can. I just need to get it edited and all that. So, you know, there's some things I can work on if I have time.
Something else that I noticed on your website is your art store. And I just think this is so cool, because there are so many singers that, I want a different word than dabble, but I think I'll just use that. I'd like to dabble in painting, whether it's watercolors or whatever. And you've got a whole page of art, of stuff that you sell, that some come with downloads, they're signed. I think that this is something, this is such a great idea for, again, for fans, that they can get a piece of this, or as a gift for somebody that you know is a fan. What a great idea. What made you decide to start doing this? Or has this been something that's been going on for a while?
I just needed another creative outlet, because I have been playing music for so long. And I think I started drawing these characters in 2019. They were creatures. I don't know what you call them. And then they became goats with guitars. And then people started asking me to make a farmer goat or make a tennis goat or a comedian goat. I recently drew a goat who was on stage as a comedian in some venue that my friend was performing in. You know, it's become really this fun outlet for me. And honestly, I do dabble in it. I don't get to do it as often as I like because I travel so much and things. But I'm part of a destination workshop called Muse Destination Workshops. I generally teach songwriting, and my partner Trish Land teaches painting. And we do it in North Georgia. We do it in France a couple times a year. So one year, often I hire other songwriters to teach so that students get a different perspective and some different tools, my students. And last year, I ended up taking a painting class from Trish. And I learned some new tricks, and I started painting some new things. And I just enjoy dabbling in it and having a new creative outlet. It doesn't get so serious, you know. It doesn't have to be about money or have to get critiqued. It's just something that I can do for fun.
And that you can do for you.
Yeah. And then if other people enjoy it, you know, I'll do it for them too.
Cool. One other thing that I saw on here that I have to ask about is coffee. You actually have your own coffee?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I don't know why, but I just thought that would be a fun thing to have. For a long time, I wanted my own wine or my own whiskey, but then I stopped drinking. So that went out the window. But I was able to find a local roaster called Cool Beans. And for those of you who know Georgia, they're in Marietta. And they were able to work with me, and we came up with a blend that I really loved. And it's called Just Getting Started, because that was the first single off my record that was current at the time. So I thought that was funny. Anyway, it's pretty good coffee, and it's free trade organic, and it's about as good for you as coffee can be.
I just think that's very cool. It's kind of like almost like a page out of Jimmy Buffett's book of
wow. Yeah.
Just do it just because you like it, finding something that you can make locally and share with your fans. I think that's very cool.
Thanks. I don't think I'm going to have any restaurants or hotels anytime soon, but
never say never.
He's the king of marketing, wasn't he?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I certainly didn't mean that in any kind of a bad way, that you're just taking a product and slapping your name on, because you could have done that with wine, even if you weren't drinking it or anything else. But to find coffee that you like and have a local company handling it, I just think that's really cool.
I actually took a lot of pride in going there, meeting the roasters and doing all these taste tests and getting it right where I wanted it, you know, getting the blend just right. And it means a lot to me. I think I take a lot of pride in the things that I put out, whether it's music or coffee or even, you know, my t-shirts. We all go to concerts and buy t-shirts, and they may or may not be great quality once you get home, you know. So I try to just have good quality items. So I don't like to be disappointed, and I don't want to disappoint other people either.
I remember going to a Genesis concert in the 80s, and I sprung for the sweatshirt. And I was so excited. I wore it out of the concert, and then I took it home and washed it once. And I don't know if my dog could even wear it. It was unbelievable.
It shrunk 1,000%.
Yeah. Yeah. And I followed the directions, but, you know, it wasn't hot water. I line dried it and everything, but.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's odd.
Yeah. It was just.
It's too hard to tell now. You know, it's hard to find things of quality in general on the planet for a fair amount, but I try real hard.
Well, it goes back to what I was talking about listening to your music, is that listening to a Michelle Malone song, you can tell she cares about what she's doing. You're not phoning it in. You're not recording something because, you know, somebody in a suit told you to. You're doing it because you want to and because you care about what you're putting out. And that extends to what you're selling on your website as well as the music.
That's true. Besides, I was never very good at doing what people in suits told me to do anyway. So it's all for the best.
Yeah, after having a 30-year career in radio, I totally understand that.
Mm. Just because they get the big bucks or, you know, whatever, does it make them an authority on every subject?
So is there anything about your website that I have missed?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I don't look at it that often.
I update it
from time to time.
I'd imagine you don't spend a whole lot of time checking out your own website.
No, I need to update a little bit. But I have a new video that came out with the new record for a song called Simple Life. And you can find that on YouTube. I don't know that I've put it on my website yet. Whoops. Yeah, you mentioned you can get downloads there at MM Tunes. You can check out Canyonland there, and there's another page for the Hot Toddies. There are reviews and pictures and video and all kinds of crazy stuff. You'll really learn so much more about me than you ever really wanted to know or need to know. And having said that, I appreciate everyone who takes the time to go do that, right? Because it matters.
Yeah, it does. And I just, you know, for somebody, I love music and I have such a huge appreciation for the artists, and to come across somebody who is an artist and has that same kind of love for what they're doing and love for what they're putting out is, unfortunately, it's rare.
Mm.
There have been, you know, I get hundreds of Christmas songs sent to me every year, which carries its own curse, but I do my best to check out every one of them. And there are so many that come in that are paint by number kind of things. And you go to the band's website and it's just an ad for, you know, they're slapping their name on whatever the product of the month is, or it's not even their thing. It's just ads, and it's, you know, and it's not, they don't care and they'll be gone in a year. And
yeah, I wasn't raised like that.
Yeah.
I come from blue collar musicians and, you know, we don't do things like that.
No, everybody is not everybody. That's the rash generalization, but so many are just in such a hurry to be an influencer or something to get paid for taking pictures of their food and their clothes. And that's all they want to do. And they don't want to create. And well, okay, everybody can't be a creator, but if you don't want to do that, you shouldn't be in this business.
I would agree with you. It takes at least a modicum of talent as well. And you have to care. It's really not the easiest job. I mean, I do this full time and that's all I've done for many decades. But I know a lot of folks who just do it for fun, and that's great. But if you're doing it for fun, it's because you enjoy it. I don't really understand the whole influencer movement and to be an idol on TV and all that. I'm not against it. I just don't, it doesn't appeal to me. But again, you know, I'm Gen X and we kind of frown at most things. So,
well, back to Christmas music for just for just a minute. I just, you know, looking at Toddy Time, one of the things that I love about it is that it's not quite that you're rescuing songs, but you're focusing on a lot of the songs are stuff that you don't hear anymore. Think about Up on the Housetop and Is That You, Santa Claus, that I mentioned earlier. And it's so great that you're giving new life to these songs that we just, that, you know, I wail on Jingle Bell Rock often, but we don't necessarily need another version of that, or Last Christmas, or All I Want for Christmas Is You, when there's so many great songs like this. And it's terrific to see that on Toddy Time and on Christmas with Michelle Malone and the Hot Toddies, which you can only get right now at her website, by the way.
Because the version of go ahead.
I was just going to say the version of Deck the Halls on this other album is so cool.
Mm. Thank you. We stumbled across that. I had this idea that it would be really cool to do a New Orleans influenced version, and I enjoy it. And I love our version of Up on the Housetop. It's got this like throwback to Tequila, boom 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 boom, ba-do-doom. And often when we play it live, we'll get a conga line going through the space. It's really fun. I just have to mention it, and people will start a conga line. So I mean, I really enjoy it. It's the kind of thing I don't really see the rest 11 months of the year, you know, the other time. So I couldn't imagine anyone starting a conga line at a regular Michelle Malone show, honestly. That would be very strange.
Well, two other songs I want to mention on Christmas with Michelle Malone and the Hot Toddies that you don't hear very often: Santa Bring My Baby Back to Me and Boogie Woogie Santa Claus, the opening and closing of the album. Two great Christmas songs that you just don't hear that much anymore.
I like the old rock and roll, the OG. And I just think it was such an innocent, kinder time between, you know, the I guess it was post-war music up through early 60s music. We were so innocent comparatively. So I prefer to sing those Christmas songs. And if I can do it with a twist, you know, I will. And if it feels right to just do it straight up, I'll do that. But I really enjoy those. They're upbeat and fun. And like you said, a lot of people don't even know those songs.
Yeah.
A lot of people have never heard Is That You, Santa Claus? Or, you know, like you said, so I find it refreshing. It's really refreshing for me for, you know, 3 weeks out of the year or so to get to sing different songs, present them in somewhat of a different way, dress differently, think differently. It's really fun.
Both of these Christmas albums, along with all the other stuff, are you can get directly from Michelle, whether you want vinyl or the CD or just the download. And really, not to beat a point to death, but it makes such a big difference buying from the artist.
Well, plus they make nice little gifts for folks.
Yeah.
You go to somebody's little party or whatever. It's, we call them happies in the South. You can give them a little happy, give them a little CD or something like that. As a gift. It's nice.
It is nice. And it's also nice to give yourself a little something. So,
yes.
Yes. Very important. Anything that you wanted to talk about that I missed or we didn't get around to?
Well, we play a lot of venues and festivals, but we also, we being the Hot Toddies, the Michelle Malone Band, and Canyonland, we play a lot of private events as well and house concerts. And you can find out more about those things at the website too.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah, we adjust to the room. And, you know, we could be a trio, we could be a duo, and we just make it work. It's really funny. I've played for two people before in their house, which was awkward because there were more of us than them. And then I've, you know, played really big giant shows at stadiums with other people. So I just love to play music, and it makes no difference to me if it's the Enormo Dome or your apartment or whatever. I just enjoy singing and making people happy.
Well, I am very grateful that you do. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And thank you for making some time for us. Is your website the best way for people to keep up with you?
Absolutely. Okay. And if you need reminding of shows, if you're wanting to see us, and we do, we'll be in Texas, we'll be in California, we'll be, you know, we'll be around. You can follow us on the app Bands in Town, and they will actually send you an email when we're in your area. And having said that, you can just email me via the website and reach me personally there. If you're interested in booking a show or you have a question or anything like that.
Cool. Well, I'll put all your links down in the show notes so everybody can track you down through the internet. I mean, don't don't try going to Michelle's house and bothering her.
I probably wouldn't be here.
Thank you so much for spending so much time talking about all this with me.
Thanks, Ken. Thanks for having me. I always enjoy it.
And thank you so much for listening, helping us share some Christmas spirit, and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I already told you how to listen to the station, and you're listening to the podcast now, so my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page that lists most, if not all, of the sites that stream the Sounds of Christmas podcast. So you can click on that, find your favorite, click on over, and then subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. And if you're listening to this on your phone, you can also click the Send Us a Text Message link and connect that way. Thanks again. And may you always believe in Santa Claus.